Welcome to a special presentation by the Radio Players on WSIU.
The Radio Players ask that you lend an ear to each of two short pieces that we present tonight. Good thing you have two ears. First, a true tale of one of the premier jesters in history, renowned for his wit. How far dare these jokers go in amusement of the court and the king? Is there a limit? We shall see. Next comes the test of how large a small deed might grow in the hands of a good-hearted person. On to the actors. Let's meet the cast of You Jest.
I'm Steve Falcone, and I'll be the narrator.
I'm Kevin Rothundi, and I will be King Charles.
I'm Christopher Rothundi, and I'll be AAA.
I'm Eric Billingsley, and I will be the court crier and the trumpeter.
I'm Elizabeth Donahue, and I'll be Queen Claude.
You Jest, a radio play by Steve Falcone. Scene one. Radio Players take you this evening to the court of King Francis I. The year is 1520, and France is in the midst of a renaissance, due in large part to the reigning monarch's love of arts and letters. Francis loved to banter, which brings us to his jester, Triboulet, one of the most beloved fools ever. Jesters literally danced to the pleasure of the king, aware always that the head beneath those bells hung in the balance. Triboulet had to be constantly on his toes to amuse without stepping on royal tootsies. Let's see how the fool manages his lot.
All hail King Francis, our warrior king, in triumphant return from his glorious victory at the Battle of Magnano.
All hail, our hail.
Triboulet whirls before the king with cartwheels, bells jingling.
Well met, fool, though your presence was notably absent at the battle.
Oh, none but a keen royal eye might perceive the absence of presence. Oh, was it the presence of absence?
Spins around.
I grow confused.
Court laughs.
Let me be blunt. You were not at your assigned post at Marignano. There was none to raise the spirits of our soldiers.
Oh, glorious though my skills may be, sire, raising spirits is not among them.
Glibness is your armor, fool. Pray one day we do not find a chink.
Oh, nay, nay, father. Nary a chink could be found this far west of his nest.
You do make sport of all, universal in giving offense.
My pride lies in being the fool with jibes for all.
Mouths, bells jingle.
Would not do well to glance over your shoulder, for Cedric patiently awaits your head.
Triboulet does look at the looming figure of the Axeman. Dark robes, mask-faced, wielding his great shiny blade.
What man's head does not teeter on the tip of eternity? A crowned head's accepted, sire.
Bows.
I fear the internal executioner comes for royal as well as commoner without distinction. There is but one toll of the final bell for all.
Well told, gracious sovereign. The stuff of jesting resides within you.
King Francis bless himself.
I pray not so. Ruling offers heartache enough.
Oh, too modest by half, Majesty. Your ease with words sounds throughout the realm.
King Francis rises.
My pleasure at presence is to view my favorite diversion.
Oh, savage lions shedding the life from one another? Beasts indeed fit for regal enjoyment.
I had not known you shared my passion for such sport. Wouldst join me in my amusement?
Regal creatures are fit solely for royal eyes, Majesty. The roar alone unmans me.
Holds rattle at belt level, lets it sink. Court roars.
You are the very devil of merriment, fool. How can we not be amused?
Impossible, sire. My wit quickens all to mirth.
Every second in your company breeds humor.
Passes Triboulet, gesturing for the fool to follow him.
Join me in making me laugh as the lions roar.
A fool dare not gaze upon royal cats. Such a breed is fit for royal eyes only.
I shall abide here and make merry before your court. We bid you fine times and fair skies.
Triple A slaps King Francis on the butt. King Francis, icily.
Such a rude touch has numbered your days immensely.
Scene 2. Same chamber, same court, only the king's queen consort, Claude, has been added to the gathering. As the king stares daggers at Triple-A's sagging grin, every breath is frozen. Time dares not move.
Even as my memory dwells upon the countless moments of mirth you have afforded this court, your misdeed is too grievous to be forgot or forgiven. A violation of the royal person warrants execution by beheading.
Cedric the Axeman starts toward the fool who is on his knees before the throne. Huge axe raised for a violent stroke.
Still.
Thunk is heard as the axeman pulls his blade wide of Triple A's neck, where it plunges into the floor.
All the light moments you've given me, the dark moods you've lifted from this weighty crown, must surely count for something.
Bless you, sire. May 10,000 larks sing your praises.
King Francis holds up hand.
Reserve your elation, mad one. Insanity alone cannot save you.
Shakes head.
While fond memory weighs in your favor, as well as the intercession of Her Majesty the Queen.
On her throne, bows her head demurely.
She has appealed to the gentler side of the matter.
God's bounty before our gracious one.
Her Majesty smiles sweetly upon her jester.
Regal law is unbreakable, but might, perhaps, be bent to suit our mood.
Triple A's head shoots up in a jingle of bells.
Defy such long-standing canon, I cannot. Modify it to present need. That I shall. Here is the ultimate test of wits for you, fool, should you wish to keep your head. If you are able to offer the crown an apology more offensive than the slap upon the royal derriere, then you shall be forgiven your insult.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. A daunting task to the most loyal subjects. Less than child's play for a man of your quick wit and command of language. I withdraw to my throne and await your cunning retort. Use the time wisely, for your head rests upon your answer.
I'm so sorry, Your Majesty. I did not recognize you. I mistook you for the queen.
Off with his head!
Axeman raises blade, thunders toward the fool. King holds up hand just in time to stay the stroke.
Halt! Much as Triple A has earned his demise, we must yet again let his wit subside. For this is what he does, who he is. A creature born to engender mirth. Whatever the rhyme or the reason, why, surely God has made him this way for a purpose.
Not to offend those chosen by divine right, subject only to God's will, this fool has fractured law sent from above. Death is the proper consequence.
Cedric's axe is up. King Francis halts the blow. Triple A whimpers.
You are the light of my eyes, but not of divine succession, my love.
You've always thought less of me, Majesty.
Not so, dear heart. Never for a moment have I thought you any less than my ideal mate.
I can only be what I was born to.
More than enough to bring glory to our court and joy to my heart.
Must a true queen brook such insult? I think not.
Well, our true queen need never endure offense to her person. The law of the land supports such judgment. It is written that any insult to Her Majesty the Queen is punishable by death.
'Tis the law.
An immutable one, to be sure. And I cannot deny warm feelings for all the mirth this poor wretch has provided. For the sake of such moments alone, I am sorely tempted to pardon our jester. Alas, insult is insult, and the law is the law. And as such, the decree of death must be satisfied.
Triple A slumps to the floor, openly weeping. Scene 3. The scene is the same, perhaps sadder, as Triple A lies whimpering like a babe in need of a diaper change. What the forlorn fool desperately craves is a miracle, an intervention. Cedric the Axeman has moved closer to the pitiful point of his interest, looming over the jester's shoulder, glinting blade at the ready. Queen's eyes are trained on the object of her disdain. The entire court holds its breath, awaiting the king's pronouncement.
Hear ye, hear ye. Gather round, loyal subjects, and hearken to his master's decree.
Our kingdom's well-being relies upon the faithful obedience of our loyal subjects. Without conformity to the crown and its principles, there can be no harmony in our realm. In accordance with those written covenants of our land, the ruling on Jester Triple A is clear. He must die.
Queen Claude claps softly.
We are content.
Cedric stares longingly at the king, who shakes his head no, as the axeman lowers his broad blade.
And yet, a sense that this tragic buffoon is owed some recompense for his years of service goads me still. While his life is irrefutably forfeit, I shall allow this condemned jester to choose his own manner of his death.
Triple A leaps up, jingling his bells.
Heaven's blessings upon you, sire. May sunshine brighten your every stride.
Now be not so hasty in your revels, fool. The weight of this decision is ponderous. You shall want to reflect upon your answer thoughtfully. Might we take a brief respite to allow you to ponder?
Oh, not necessary, Majesty. My decision resides on the tip of my tongue.
Mime's pulling the words from his tongue.
I choose to die from old age.
The court is stunned to silence, then burst into laughter, all but Cedric and Queen Claude. King Francis roars.
A fox in motley, I vow. You'd outdo the devil with words. Well, you've slipped the axeman's blade yet again.
Queen Claude flounces from the throne room as Cedric sulks on his axe head.
Oh, she moves with such majesty, does she not?
Indeed, sire. A vision of regal splendor.
Well, marvel that you are, dear fool. Your wit never fails to amuse me. Yet, there is a debt to be paid. I cannot in good conscience allow your effrontery to go unpunished.
Fool's bells cease jingling.
Henceforth, you are banished from our realm. Beyond the morrow, your presence upon any portion of our land is cause for your death. Fare thee well forever, clever one. May wit sustain you wherever fate takes you. We shall not gaze upon your countenance again.
Triple A shakes rattle, clicks heels, sings.
Hey, nonny, nonny, for the path ahead, I stride forth bearing but a motley body and a comely head. My fortune lies in my winsome wit and the good master on whom I choose to use it. Hey, naughty, 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 no!
And now let's meet the cast for Found Money. I'm Elizabeth Donahue, and I'll be the narrator.
I'm Steve Falcone. I'll be Jay Love.
I'm Peg Falcone. I'll be Mighty Moe.
I'm Eric Dongsley. I'll be Mad Max Muncie.
I'm Christopher Rathundi, and I'll be Joe Bangles.
I'm Kevin Rathundi, and I will be Brother Bob.
Found Money, Scene 1.
An average day for Maureen as she zooms her skateboard down the path in the park on this glorious Monday. Not a cloud in the sky. Who wouldn't be pleased with such an afternoon? Mo, as she's known to one and all, feels the warmth on her cheek and smiles. Rainbows fill her eyes. She knows every rock and tree by sight. The park is her personal playground, made just for her, she feels. Boldly, she zigs and zags that wooden plank in and out of tricky terrain, fearing neither a skip nor miss on her merry spree. What a sight is this kid with the mop of auburn curls bobbing in time to her dirty black and white Chuck Taylor high tops. Lifted on the wind, Mo seems to float through another fun day, free as the breeze. Until a board hits a lump and down she goes, landing hard on her rear. Poor dear. Mo grabs for the obstacle in her path, feeling a soft substance in her grip. Imagining a dead animal, she almost drops it, but doesn't. Something about the object attracts her. She doesn't know why, but it does. A pita, perhaps? Starving as she is, Mo knows better than to eat it. What could this bump to her rump be?
It's a wallet.
Tall and lean, J-Love, as everyone calls him, knows this little girl quite well. They're playmates in the park, you might say.
Where'd you get it, Toots?
It got me. Tripped up my ride in full glide. Rude behavior from a cowhide.
You still got the magic touch, Gile. Let me lift you up.
Mo holds the wallet in her left hand and reaches out her right to the man who swings her easily to her feet. Mo chuckling all the way.
You back level with the earth, girl. How's that feel now?
Straight up and no lie, Mr. Love. Able to look anyone dead in the eye.
J-Love shakes head.
You something for sure, young'un. So where'd that billfold come from?
Wish I knew where it was before I collided with it.
No need for negativity, Mighty Mo. That cowhide was likely Mother Nature telling you to slow your roll.
Just because you're taller than me don't make you right.
Right? What's right is what makes it right, whatever that might be. Why are you so full of fight, little girl? Looks to me like you done run into a prize. Open your eyes.
Maybe so.
Rubs wallet.
Soft.
That's an old wallet. Bet it's seen some use in its day.
Must belong to someone.
Lest they threw it away.
Who'd do that?
No clue. Open it and see.
Mo does so. Finding the wallet empty of any ID, containing only a $50 bill.
That'd be yours now.
How can that be?
Nobody else to claim it. Yours by law of finders keepers.
Isn't the other half of that saying losers weepers?
J-Love looks around.
Nobody boo-hooing hereabouts I can see.
Meaning the wallet and 50 belong to me?
Nods.
Looks like.
Doesn't feel right.
Rub that grant twixt your fingers. Don't that feel nice?
Does so.
I guess.
No guessing necessary, child. That there's the sweet feel of the ever-loving stuff we all crave. So comfy to the touch.
Not so much. Must be others need this bill more than me.
Honey, the whole world needs one more grant at least. We all got needs.
I don't. Got all I need right here with my speed machine.
Picks up skateboard.
Can you use the dough?
J-Love looks shyly away.
I repeat, can you use the 50, friend?
Getting by the skin of our teeth.
That's sad. It shouldn't have to be.
What has to be, little one. Can't much be done about that.
Why not?
Sticks out, Bill.
I grant you this grant to do as you wish for your family.
I can't take that, Mo.
Again, I say, why not?
'Cause it's yours.
To do with as I wish.
Sticks Bill out further.
I wish to give it to you.
Pushes Bill at J-Love.
Take it, please. I want you to.
J-Love shakes head yes.
We'd do anything for each other, wouldn't we?
J-Love shakes head yes.
That means you gotta take this 50 for me, a personal favor to a best pal.
Well, now, if I gotta, I gotta.
Shakes head.
You are something extra special, girl. I must bounce on out of here before I start bawling like a baby.
Mo holds wallet out.
Take this to keep it in.
No, no, no. That hunk of cowhide remains with you.
Waves, Bill.
Got all I need right here.
blows Mo a kiss.
A million times thanks for your kindness.
My pleasure, friend.
Mo rubs the wallet.
Guess you're mine now.
Scene 2. The sun has risen a few jots in the sky as Mo stands with the empty wallet in her hand, smiling at the moment just past. Helping a friend felt good, better than the lump she'd taken on her rump. As she rubs it, the smile on J-Love's face made everything all better. What could possibly go wrong when life felt so right? A simple enough question about to be answered as Mad Max Muncie creeps from behind the gnarled tree whose crooked branches had spooked Mo since she was a tot. The bent figure with a huge mustache who appeared before her did little to lessen her fears. The voice was gravel.
Give me the wallet, kid.
Max makes a grab for the wallet, and Mo quickly pulls away.
You saying this wallet is yours?
I'm saying the contents of that cowhide's gonna be mine, or else.
Mo shakes head.
You're out of luck there, Buster. This old hunk of leather's bare.
Pull the other one, short stuff. I seen that Grant's already changed hands.
Then you know there are no more. Just a skinny billfold with no bills to fold in it.
Show me.
Mo shrugs.
If you say so.
Oh, I do, I do.
Mo opens wallet to find another $50 bill.
That can't be right.
Just right, sister. Now hand it over.
Max is quicker this time, his hand on the wallet that zaps him as he yelps.
Oh, you pay for that, you brat.
Doesn't look like I can.
A comedian, huh? I'll give you something to laugh about.
Grabs at wallet again to get another zap.
No!
Feeling the harsh jolt of defeat, Mad Max turns tall toward a hasty retreat, only to be accosted by the tall, lean frame of Park Ranger Joe Bangles, bounding after the villain.
Officer Bangles, right on time.
Yeah, gotta hurry after that rat. I've been on his trail for quite a while now. Stop, thief!
Mad Max scurries to what seems a sizable head start on Officer Bangles until Joe makes a crazy long leap and lands right on top of Max.
He jumps so high, then he lightly touched down. Some Mr. Joe Bangles.
It's on the way you bend your knees, Mo. This creep won't be bothering anybody for a long time.
So glad you showed up when you did, Officer Bangles.
Yeah, so am I, Mo. Your wallet's safe now.
It's not actually mine.
Oh, any ID inside?
Mo shakes head.
None.
Well, then I'd say that billfold's yours as well as the contents. Which were?
A $50 bill. Then another $50 bill.
You mean $100?
Not exactly. There was $150 I gave away, then another $50 appeared.
Like magic?
Exactly like magic. Crazy, huh?
Yeah, I've seen crazier. The longer you live, Mo, the more amazing life gets.
Mo nods.
Good to know, Joe. All the more reason to keep on trucking.
Yeah, that's the stuff, Mighty Mo. Back up on that flying board of yours and on your merry way.
More than ready to blast off. First, I've got a gift for you.
Joe backs away.
Oh, there's nothing I need. My life is complete. Who could ask for a life more sweet?
How about them critters with wings that sing tweet tweet? Winter comes, the going gets rough. Tough time to find any feed.
Joe nods.
True.
Them lively guys with the bushy tails, too. What are they gonna do?
Nods again.
Too true.
A gift for the park's feed funds, what I offer.
Mo holds out wallet.
Reach into the billfold for all of your park-dwelling friends.
Well, I don't believe there's anything left in there.
Oh, you never know, Joe. Got a feeling the wallet gives to good causes.
Joe opens the wallet to find a $50 bill.
Well, I'll be delighted to accept this needed stipend for our creatures of the earth and sky to get by this upcoming winter. Blessings to all who made it happen.
Mo looks skyward.
Someone up there, I suspect, has the answer. Though we needn't ask any questions.
Joe bows head.
Simply give humble thanks.
Amen. Off I go again. Got trees to see and a breeze to make me go whee.
Scene 3. Mighty Mo's on the go again. Breeze blowing through autumn curls in the wind. free as the wee creatures about her when she spies a special friend and mentor, Brother Bob, who runs the Capuchin Soup Kitchen across the street from the park. Mo's eaten there several times, enjoying the light mood and communal spirit of the place. Who knew monks could be fun? Brother Bob looked far from happy at the moment, head in his hands, as he seemed to be whispering a silent prayer. Mo thought it best not to bother the good man at such a moment and dug her foot down to gather speed. When Brother Bob spotted her, his eyes lit up. Bob was very fond of the curly-haired little girl. Children were a special delight to the monk.
Hello, Mo. How lovely to see you on this sunny day.
Hi, Brother Bob. Good to see you. Is everything okay?
Brother Bob forces a thin smile.
You seem maybe praying?
Things are brighter now, thanks to you, Mo, ray of sunshine that you are.
He shakes head.
You've caught me at a moment of meditation.
That's prayer, right?
Of a sorts, yes.
Like a request from God.
Oh.
Brother Bob smiles.
You caught me, Mo. Beseeching from the Lord yet again.
Is beseeching like begging?
Very much like begging, yes.
Isn't God your boss, sorta?
Well, that he is.
Then you're not begging, just asking for what you need to do your job.
What a splendid way to look at the matter. Still, the situation does seem dire.
That means bad, huh?
Yeah, afraid it does, Mo.
Maybe I can help.
Oh.
Shakes head.
So good of you to offer, but, well, this one is,
Mo holds up wallet.
This might be the answer to what you need.
Oh, I couldn't ask you to give your hard-earned money, dear.
It's not mine.
Oh, well, then we must find the owner at once.
No ID inside. None. Just money.
Well, I suppose it's yours, given,
It's empty at the moment.
Oh.
But it refills itself.
Pardon me?
If there's a good person or cause, I give them the $50 bill in the wallet. If another good reason appears, so does another grant.
A blank look from Bob.
A 50's called a grant, because that president's on the 50.
Oh, well, is he? Well, I wouldn't know that. That's how little contact I have with the larger bills.
Time you had more contact.
Mo holds out billfold.
Open it.
But you said it was empty.
Bet it won't be when you reach in.
Really?
And truly.
Shrugs, reaches in to find a 50.
Praise the Lord.
Exactly.
Well, this is wonderful.
Shakes head.
I didn't know how we were going to restock the larder. Every item's down to the last morsel.
The ingredients you need to make those beautiful soups?
Well, Brother Mark is a wonder with his soups, but even he can't make something from nothing.
And that yummy bread?
Well, now, that would be Brother Luke's specialty. He does, however, require flour and wheat and yeast for those doughy delights to rise.
Sounds like you could use another dip into the billfold.
Oh, no.
Brother Bob shakes head.
I couldn't. One to a customer seems to be the standard, and I've already had my turn.
But you have so many mouths to fill. I think one more turn's in order.
Shrugs.
Well, if you say so.
I definitely do.
Brother Bob reaches into the wallet to find another 50 inside.
Uh-huh. This has all the earmarks of a miracle. And that's a word I do not use lightly.
It's been good for a number of good people today.
Well, let's have it that way, why don't we? Oh, what about yourself, young lady? Have you taken advantage of this leather money dispenser?
Nothing I need, brother. Tripped over the billfold on my daily ride. Figured it must have been to fulfill some worthy causes. I'm all set.
You are a treasure and nothing less, Mighty Mo. You must come by tomorrow for bread and soup. Now, I insist. It's thanks to you that the Capuchin Soup Kitchen is back on its feet. Doors open at 8 a.m. and I will be looking for you, young lady.
Listen for me is a better way to know I'm coming. My cloud board will be zooming in.
Well, Well, I'll have my ears perked for the sound.
Guess I might as well toss this cowhide away. Its job is done.
For now, anyway. But who knows when it'll be needed again.
You've been listening to a special presentation of the original radio plays You Jest and Found Money, written by Steve Falcone and performed by the Radio Players. Both plays were recorded live in the WSIU radio studios, post-production sound design by Hanis Koopwood. Listener support makes original radio theater possible on WSIU. We are powered by you.